We're now going to begin the sixth parak of Maseches Erevin. This is parak Vav Mishnah Aleph 6:1. And before we get into the parak, I'd like to take a step back and see the big picture, so we can make sure we get the picture of the forest before we get back to the trees. For the last three prakim, we've been discussing the topic of Erev Tchumen, the distance where one may travel on Shabbos. And that has nothing to do with what we're talking about now. We're done with that topic. Those three prakim were sort of self-contained, if you will. If you recall, the first two prakim we had discussed topics regarding where one may carry and how one may carry and what parameters one may carry. That was the issue of Hotza'a. Then we went to the topic of Tchumen, of where one can walk. And the distance where one can walk or travel on Shabbos has nothing to do with carrying on Shabbos. They're independent. Now in the sixth parak, we're going to revert back to the topic of carrying. So let's just make sure this is clear. 39 malachas of Shabbos are forbidden. One of the 39, the last of the 39, is Hotza'a. And Hotza'a really, again, includes three separate type of acts, either being Hotza'a, being Motzi, taking from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim, also Hachnasa, taking from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYachid, and the third thing is Ha'avara, transporting something in the Rishus HaRabim, Dal Ramos, for Amos. Now, the 39th Malacha of Hotza'a is called a Malacha Gerua, a lesser Malacha, inasmuch as it's not so clear and intuitive how one is applying his intelligent, creative will on the universe to transform it. So in contrast to the other 38 malachas, when you're riding or when you're baking or when you're tying knots, when you're building, etc., it's clear your will is being posed to transform the world. It's not so clear how moving an object, Dal Ramos in Rishus HaRabim, is considered to be a malacha. But it is. And perhaps because of that less intuitive status of Hotza'a, a huge amount of the Gemara is spent to ensure that this malacha is not carried out on Shabbos, the integrity of Shabbos is maintained. So much of Maseches Shabbos and essentially all of Maseches Erevin is dealing with the malacha of Hotza'a in the big picture. Now, you recall, when it comes to transporting in a Rishus HaYachid, a private domain, that means that it's at least 4x4 tfachim, whatever, say 16 inches on a side area. If it's offset from the Rishus HaRabim with at least three mechitzas, three partitions, each of which are 10 tefachim high, 3 feet high or so, so then it doesn't matter if those partitions are off the ground, if it's you're talking about an elevated platform, if you're talking about a room that has three walls, talking about a well or a hole in the ground that's 3 feet or so, 10 tefachim deep, that's all called the Rishus HaYachid. And within the Rishus HaYachid, there's no problem carrying at all. And when we say Yachid and Rabim, individual versus Rabim in public, we're not really focusing on if it's privately or publicly owned. We're just talking about that it's a private domain offset from the general public, as Rishus HaYachid. It doesn't matter if it's owned by two people, Midaraisa at all. Nevertheless, the rabbis felt that there are many areas which, while may be considered to be Midaraisa, either Rishus HaYachid, where you could carry, or even a Makom Patur, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore Midrabanan, it's a Karmelis, they felt that if we let people carry here without any kind of restriction or inhibition, so then sooner or later they'll end up carrying in the Rishus HaRabim proper or transferring from their private domain into a bona fide Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, a whole slew of halachas kicked in. Now, the way that urban planning was in the time of the Mishnah, people lived in small homes, and their homes centered about a chatzer, a courtyard, and that was a private domain as much as the courtyard was offset from the public with walls, and no one else was entitled to be there. So midorais et rishus hayachid, one could carry there, but psychologically speaking, it doesn't feel like a private domain in as much as your home feels like a private domain, because in your home, it's only for you and the residents of the home. No shared occupancy. No one's allowed to come in without permission. No one comes into your home and does stuff without your authorization. In contrast, the chatzer, the courtyard, was shared by many residents of homes all around the courtyard. You could think of it simply as a modern day apartment building that has like a lobby or something. So, or any other shared facility. So it might be, it's technically Rishus HaYachid from the Hotzah perspective, but psychologically, since it's used by the more than just you, it kind of feels a little public-y. That's not a word, of course, but it feels a little like that. And Chazal were concerned if people today take from their homes into what feels kind of like a quasi-public area, like the Chatzer, which is a shared space, sooner or later they'll carry from their homes into the alleyways and then eventually from their homes into the Rishus HaRabim proper. And therefore, Chazal wanted people to have certain reminders slash infrastructure or inhibitions, whatever, to prevent people from just forgetting that there's a restriction from carrying from your private domain to a public domain. And therefore, they established all kinds of rules when it comes to two particular urban structures, if you will, the chatzer, the courtyard, which is your just shared by the other residents in the courtyard, but it's a totally bona fide Rishus HaYachid Midoraisa, so you could carry there no problem, and carrying from your home to Rishus HaYachid has no issue at all. But they wanted certain adjustments made, and those adjustments, I'll call them of residency, they're really psychological entirely. And the Mavui. The Mavui was where the Chatzer often opened up to, and the Mavui, as we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, would lead as an alleyway, like a side street, to the Rishus HaRabim, to the main boulevard of the town. Or it could be a mufulash open on both sides and lead to a Rishus HaRabim on both sides of the alleyway. Now, that also, if it's not a mufulash, it's open just on one side, so it has three walls on the other three sides, an opening on the fourth Rishus HaRabim. So really, that's also considered to be technically a Rishus HaYachid. And again, one could carry there midoraisa, but it certainly feels pretty public. There's a lot of traffic there, unfamiliar faces there, etc. And it opens up when you cross that invisible line where the Mavui ends, the Rishus HaRabim begins. You're in Rishus HaRabim proper, and that's obviously just an invisible line if you haven't got anything to mark it off. And therefore, Chazal said that we're going to do certain things to remind people that, well, maybe it's okay to transport in the Rishus, in the Mavui, because really technically it's Rishus HaYachid. Be careful so you don't come later on to carry or transport or transfer into the Rishus HaRabim. So there we had, that was the topic of the first parak of this Masechta, and we had the Lechi or the Korah or the Tzuras of Pesach, something that marks off and offsets where the Rishus HaRabim ends and where the Mavui begins. That was sort of architectural. Now, our Perek, really the next few Prakim, three Prakim, are going to discuss with the other issue. Besides for the architectural adjustments that would be required to the Mavui, there's going to be some other kind of adjustment that's going to require to be done that sort of makes it the residency issue, that makes people feel that they live with others, but it's different than a regular public space, both for the chatzer, which needs an architectural adjustment, and the mavui, which needed the lechi or kor, whatever it is, but it's still also kind of public. And that the way that one is able to carry in the chatzer or mavui is actually the three possibilities. The primary basic possibility is called the Eruv. The Eruv, referring to food. So let's talk about Eruv Chatzeros. In the Chatzer, all the residents in the Chatzer would contribute, let's say, a slice of bread or a piece of matzah or money to buy such a thing. And then they'd keep all those matzahs in someone's house. And it was as if, since your home is kind of where your food is, it's just kind of as if everyone is like a consortium, and they all live together like one big commune. Living and they all live in that home, and therefore the chatzer isn't like a shared space, but rather it's a common space where they all live and they all share as one. It's not a separate people, you know, living there distinctly and using it together. So by making this consortium of everyone living together like a commune, and it's like all of us together live here and all of us together have this common space, it's clearly distinct psychologically, the chatzer from a mavui or from the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, so that's the Erev Chatzeros. And the Erev Chatzeros must be done with bread, specifically bread. Okay, now, for the mavui, it's basically the same idea. There's a different term used. Instead of the Erev, the combining of the Chatzer, they're called Shitufei Mavaos. A Shituf is a partnership. So it's Mishtatef, which partners up everyone in the mavoi is again going to be food. You don't need to use bread per se. You could use whatever, wine and cheese, whatever you like, as your shitufe mavoos. Again, everyone kind of contributes. It's a shared ownership, same kind of idea, just a different word, shituf. And also the mavi, don't forget, will require some architectural adjustments, meaning the lechi or korah, etc. Okay. Now, there are actually two other possibilities that would allow people who are living in the chatzer to carry in the chatzer, even if they didn't set up a eruv to combine everybody. Now, those two possibilities. Number one, let's say, for example, there are 10 residents, but one of them neglected to participate in the Eruv. He wasn't around, he forgot, whatever it is. So now, even if the other 9 do make an Eruv, but the 10th guy didn't contribute and isn't part of it, so then the Chatzer really is being shared by 2 entities. There's this one guy who's not part of the Eruv of the club, and there's the other 9 people who act as a consortium. And that being the case, again, it has this sort of shared use, and that's not good enough. And in the language of the Mishnah, this one guy who didn't participate in the Eruv is oser. He restricts everyone else from carrying in the chatzer. So he has another option. His option is to relinquish his rights to using the chatzer. That's called bitzel rishus. And if he elects to be mevatel, annul his rights to use the shared space, the common space, so he's taken out of the picture. If he's taken out of the picture, he's not using the common space, so now he's out, and we're left with just the 9 others who indeed did make an Eruv, and they now work as a single consortium, and they can now once again carry inside the Eruv. Excuse me, inside the Chatzer. So while the Eruv must be done before Shabbos to put everyone together, the mechanism called Bitzel Rishus for those who didn't participate in the Erev can even be done on Shabbos. Okay, so those are the 2 basic ways which could allow everyone who are resident in the Chatzer to carry in the Chatzer. And the same kind of thing would apply to the Mavui. There's also a third possibility. Now, the third possibility is Schirus. If a person, if the other members of the chatzer rent out, they lease out the rights of the other guy. So instead of the other guy being mevatel and walking away and annulling his rights, he actually sells his rights of the chatzer to the other members. Okay, that's a third possibility. Fine. Now, there are 3 categories of people to be considered, and they don't all have equal access to these 3 possibilities necessarily. So you have to consider Jews, non-Jews, and people who are Jewish, but they don't necessarily subscribe to rabbinic authority and the rabbinic fiction of the Erev being the symbolic unification of all the members of the Chatzer. So if we're talking about a regular Jew, Jewish residents of the Chatzer, so they can use the Erev mechanism, they can certainly do bittel and annul their ownership. As far as the schiras goes, to rent out their rights to the others on Shabbos, so that is actually a machlokas rishonim. If it can be done by a Jew, the Maharam of Rottenberg and the Rambam say no. The Rosh says yes. The Shulchan Aruch brings down both shitas. The Achronim go lakula with the Rosh that it can be done. Again, it's meaning that even a Jew could sell his rights and not be part of the Erev, but enable others to carry in the chatzer, provided that it's done before Shabbos, the selling is done before Shabbos, and that the purchase price is for the rights for the Shabbos is at least a pruta. Okay. For non-Jews, the rabbis did not allow them to participate in the Eruv, nor did they allow the non-Jew to do bitzel rishus. They didn't allow the non-Jew to participate in the Erev because as a non-Jew, they certainly don't subscribe to the whole rabbinic notion of this Erev Chatzeros and what it works. They don't believe in it, they don't buy in it, and therefore, of course, they can't participate in it. They're not eligible for it. Fine. As far as Bitzel Rishus, just essentially walking away and annulling their rights to their shared space, they really should be able to work, technically. The thing is, as the Gemara explains it, the rabbis wanted to make it difficult to live in a chatzer with non-Jews. The concern of the rabbis was that if you are neighbors with non-Jews, sooner or later they will have a bad influence on you, and therefore they wanted to make it more difficult, and therefore the rabbi said the only way that you can be able to carry in your chatzer on Shabbos is if your Gentile neighbor agrees to sell you his rights in the chatzer on Shabbos. And the thought was that your Gentile neighbor would be very suspicious of your request to rent out his rights for using his own backyard, or lobby of his apartment, whatever the story is. And therefore, they would sort of suspect you of being up to some kind of mischief and not agree to it, which would make you not be able to carry, which would make you not want to live in the first place with the Gentile, and therefore you'd move out. And that would be sort of make an impediment to Jews and non-Jews living together in close quarters as being neighbors, etc. So the non-Jew is, if you want to carry in your chatzer and you have a non-Jew living with you, you'll need to do schiris. You'll have to have him rent out his rights to you and to everyone in the consortium of the other Jews in the Erev. The truth is, halacha l'maisa, does need to get done. It's just symbolic in nature. In truth, if the non-Jew agrees to sell his rights, but then he ends up carrying or living or working or picnicking in the chatzer, it's not going to mess anybody up. It's just sort of a symbolic nature, and the transaction actually can even take place on Shabbos, the Schiras, and it can be done even for less than a pruta, but that's the way it has to get done. Okay, so those are the two basic categories, Jews and non-Jews. Now, there is a middle category, and that is someone who's Jewish, let's say even they keep Shabbos, but they, let's say a Kusi, the Kusim, well, remember those guys, they were Bais Rishon, the Samaritans, they were converts. At the time of the Mishnah, they were considered to be legitimate Jewish converts. And later on in the time of the Gemara, that was reneged when they found that the Kusim had this idol on Har Gerizim that they worshipped, and they were considered bona fide Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and they were not considered Jews. But at the time of the Mishnah, the Kusim were considered Jewish. They were called Geri Arayot. They were lion converts because they only converted because the lions were attacking them, but they were converted nonetheless. And the Kusim did not, they followed the Torah as it's written, but they didn't really believe the rabbis had much authority. They didn't believe in the rabbinic enactments, and therefore they didn't subscribe to the notion of an Erev to unify. And that being the case, the Kusi isn't able to participate in the Erev with everybody else because he doesn't believe in it. So he won't be able to participate in the Erev. He'll be left with a Bitul Rishus type thing. He has to essentially annul his rights. Okay, that's the whole backstory. Now, the Mishnah side is going to start with a case of a small chatzer which has just two residents, one who is Jewish, one who is non-Jewish. And the Mishnah says inside, Hadar im hanachri b'chatzer. If you have two people living together in a chatzer, one is the Jew, he's the subject of the sentence, and he lives with the Gentile in the single chatzer. O im mi she'enu moda be'erev, or if the other resident isn't a Jew, he's someone who doesn't subscribe to the notion of Erev, that's the Kusi, for example. So, harei ze oser, this guy, the Gentile or the Kusi, restricts the movements of the Jew, alav, by virtue of the fact that he is not sharing in the residency in a single consortium in the chatzer. Meaning, all things being equal, if you have a Gentile neighbor and you in the shared chatzer, you can carry in your chatzer by virtue of the fact that it's the Gentile living there also. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. Tanakama, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, he disagrees, and he says it all makes sense based on what we just set up to now. The thing is that the reason why the Gentile can't essentially annul his rights and he restricts you from carrying in the Erev is all because the rabbis wanted to make an extra layer of impediment for Jews and non-Jews to live together. However, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that the rabbis weren't gozer in general. They weren't gozer on things that were not shchiach, that were highly uncommon, unlikely scenarios. They didn't bother making gezeras. They have no gezeras that applied to such weird scenarios. And in his mind, and really it's the Gemara's mind in general, even Tanakam Reb Meir agrees to this, it's highly unlikely in the time of the Mishnah that a Jew and a Gentile would live together alone in a chatzer. And the reason why is because the Jew would fear for his life. It was likely that sooner or later the Gentile would end up killing him, perhaps, and no one would know, no one would hear him scream, and so on and so forth. And so therefore, it just seemed very unlikely in the time of the Mishnah that a Jew would elect and opt to live with a Gentile as his neighbor with no one else in the chatzer to hear him scream. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, no, There's no such din derabanan, and therefore the Gentile, his living there is irrelevant. There's no din derabanan that restricts us from doing that. And that being the case, his presence doesn't stop you, the Jew who are living there, from carrying on Shabbos. So it says inside, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, La'olam eino oser. That Gentile, or the Kusi, same idea. You don't want Kusim to be and Jews to be neighbors because of the same negative influence, but again, unlikely to be done, just you and him. And therefore, there'll be no restrictions on an individual Jewish resident in a chatzer like that, ad sheyu shnei Yisraelim, until there are two Jewish residents. And at that point, osen ze'el ze'el, each one, you know, restricts the other one because they have separate rights in the chatzer. And at that point, we have to consider the Gentile or Kusi as well. Now, the halach is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, meaning a single Gentile with a single Jew does not restrict the Jew from carrying over there. The reason why is, in general, the halach is always like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because his mishnasa was kav v'naki. His teachings were kav, which is kind of concise, and naki, they were clear. So since his teachings were clear and concise, the halacha follows him, and therefore then halacha l'maisa will be that a single non-Jewish resident would not restrict the Jew from carrying in his own chatzer.